More ideas, different points of view, in-depth discussion, and thoughtful analysis. Welcome to Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN, your exclusive look inside Milwaukee County government. Here's your host, Harold Mester.
And good evening, Milwaukee County, the March 6th edition of Inside the County Board. We're doing our best to present an informative show tonight. Of course, we're going to discuss the biggest issue in Wisconsin, the state budget battle, and the impact on Milwaukee County taxpayers. We'll dig into human services and tell you about an upcoming open house of the courthouse. Supervisor Peggy West joining us on that. And Supervisor Jerry Broderick makes an appearance later in the show to talk about UW Extension and the services they provide to Milwaukee County. Hope you enjoy the show tonight. We begin with the state budget generating headlines around the nation for the last 2 weeks, the debate catapulting Governor Scott Walker into the limelight and sending Democratic state senators to Illinois, of all places. The media has overcovered angles of this story, but we're here to talk about the impact on Milwaukee County and its residents. And joining us tonight, County Supervisors Jim Luigi Schmidt and John Thomas. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, you both sit on the Finance and Audit Committee for the County Board. Supervisor Thomas, you're the acting chair of that committee. Supervisor Schmidt, you chair the Intergovernmental Relations Committee. And that's why it was a good idea to have both of you on together to talk about the state budget, because you play key roles in working with state lawmakers and bringing revenue back to Milwaukee County. So everything is kind of up in the air right now with the status of both the budget repair bill as well as the next biennial budget itself. But when you look at just the repair bill here, we've had all the bickering about the collective bargaining. We've seen the governor trying to remove the collective bargaining ability for union employees as it relates to employee health care and pension benefits. And he has referred to these as tools that he says are necessary for local governments. Do you two agree with that? And do you think this is something you can work with? Supervisor Schmidt.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having us on, Harold. Yeah, we can solve all these problems now in the next 15 minutes, I'm sure.
I'm sure we can.
Yes. Well, this is what has been a greater debate, but these two sides. It's the Republican Party versus the Democratic Party. It's kind of business versus unions. I would just say quickly that the repair bill is all about collective bargaining. There's no question about it. And if the repair bill goes through, and certainly Republicans have the majority to do this, and that's one reason the Democrats have left the Senate, trying to delay and having more discussion on this bill. But not only health insurance and pensions, you can't bargain anything except wages, and that's very limited too, because that's based on the consumer price index, cost of living. If it goes down, you've got to go back to zero. The only thing you can raise it for is the cost of construction, and that's been minimal, as we know, in this recession in the last few years. But just finally, not only health insurance and pensions, but it's vacations, holidays, hours of work, safety, dues. Dues is a big part of this, too, grievance right. Arbitration. So it's the whole gamut. So in essence, this is a bill that would take away all bargaining rights for public unions.
Supervisor Thomas?
You know, it's interesting that it's easy to focus on collective bargaining rights being taken away from the union. I agree that it's a big part of this budget. But if you look at it from a local level, the executive has really put the ownership on local elected officials to make the difficult choices to cut services, to cut their employment staff, and really make those negative impacts on the community. So he's really washed his hands of making the tough decisions and really putting this community in a better position. This toolkit, I'm disappointed that the governor hasn't taken a more leadership role on giving us those things that we've actually asked for. Instead, he's taken this opportunity really just to slight individuals who didn't vote for him and who really don't believe with his political views.
So let's say that this toolkit does get passed. Well, I guess first off, do you guys think it's going to get passed? Is there a resolution in sight here?
I don't think there's any resolution in sight. It's been pretty obvious from the beginning. If you look at the majorities, just look at the House, Assembly, 62 to 38, Republicans versus Democrats. Anything that would happen, the governor would have a chance to veto. He has 19-14 majority in the Senate. There was, 100 to 200 amendments. I don't know if everybody counted exactly what it was that the Assembly brought up. It didn't have any of those have a prayer. It was all 57-37, straight down, almost party lines, with very few exceptions. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any room for compromise. That is, compromise is not in the, this governor doesn't have to compromise. I mean, he ran on a platform, a Reagan Republican of, you know, government should get out of the way. Government is not the solution. Government's the problem. That's what Ronald Reagan was quoted as.
Right.
And the county executive, now governor, has followed that philosophy. So, I mean, I don't know anybody should be shocked. No new taxes. He's never 8.5 years as county executive, 10 years as a state legislature. So if nothing else, you know, we don't have to like it, but he's been certainly very consistent. Now, did everybody think he'd go as far as he did? I'm not sure about that. He didn't say that specifically in his campaign, but to think he wasn't going to go after it, I think Supervisor Thomas mentioned too, his constituents are not the city of Milwaukee. His constituents are not basically Milwaukee County. He lost 62-38 in Milwaukee County. He lost in Dane County. And there's where you have a lot of your public employees and big government.
Right.
Milwaukee County, who by far the largest, the 72, and obviously Dane County, the seat of our capital. So he got voted by everybody else basically in the state. So he had huge majorities in the rural areas and northern areas. What did he have? Almost 80% in Waukesha County? Mm-hmm. Yeah, tremendous. And that, so it was 53-47. So Supervisor Thomas said, you know, I don't know if it's a mandate, but, you know, it was 8 years of Democrats. Now the Republicans came to power, and, boy, they're going to do everything that the Democrats did to them and more.
Mm-hmm. Well, if one Democrat bends on this, you're going to have these collective bargaining changes. And then as supervisors, you two are going to have to make the tough decisions as far as how far do you go with this. I mean, you would have the authority to make changes without negotiating with the union. If you have to choose between service cuts or having your union employees and other employees pay more for their pension or health care, which way do you go as you go through the next budget for the county?
Well, that's a tough decision to be put in, because you definitely, in order to provide an efficient service, we need employees that are happy, and we need to pay them a fair wage. At this point, our employees are skeptical because they are not sure if they'll have a job next year. And at the same time, our constituents are relying on Milwaukee County because we're the safety net during these hard times. So it's going to be a tough choice. I can't really say if I prefer one over the other. They're bad scenarios. The governor has put us in a situation. He didn't give us tools. He put a weight around our neck. And we're standing on the edge of the bridge right now. And, you know, the final push will come when the Democrats come back to the state, and the legislation will pass. And then we'll have to, you know, really start focusing on, okay, what's our next plan? How do we get through these tough times?
Well, and it's, you know, we have 19 members on the county board. Mm-hmm. There are 7 on the finance committee, currently 6. One seat on that is vacant. So, and you two are both on it. I mean, you're going to have to go through this budget process before some of the other supervisors. And that's, I don't envy either of your positions on this. Supervisor Schmidt.
Well, what else is new? I mean, we've been in this situation for a long time. I mean, last budget, Supervisor Thomas knows very well, it was an incredible budget. The whole budget was based on employee givebacks.
Yeah.
We said we had a $24 million deficit. The entire, I've never heard of that. It put us in a very unenviable position, to say the least. I don't know how we can be almost in a worse position. And I think we've made decisions already. The county executive wouldn't lay people off when he was county executive. Okay, he said he was going to happen because we had these deficits. He didn't do that. It'd be very difficult to run for governor if you're laying people off. Okay, mm-hmm. Now he's saying he's going to do that again. Well, what we did in finance is we put people on furloughs. We enacted furloughs so we didn't lay people off. I know the governor says he doesn't want to lay people off too. I'm sure he's sincere when he says that. Okay, so what's the alternative? Well, we made those decisions really in finance in the last 2 years. What have we done for non-reps? We're paying for pensions now. We're paying 2% now. Look on your checks. We're paying 2%. It'll be another 1% come July. Another 1% come. We'll be paying 4% towards our pension. Okay. We have reduced. This is for all non-union people.
Right.
Now I'm speaking.
Right.
We reduced our pensions from 2 to 1.6. Froze our wages. Of course, our wage has been frozen for 10 years. But that's the way it is. No wage increase. No step increase. Okay. Paying more for insurance. 60 to 64 retirement age. What's going to happen? I think what we will do is we'll ask AFSCME, who hasn't had a contract since 2008. We've asked AFSCME to go along with these also. I know how else we balance a budget, but I will push to get those in. Those I just mentioned. We did it already to us and to all non-reps.
And I want to talk about that, because the county has done this more has done it before any other county has. We're already asking for pension contributions from the non-represented employees, trying to get it from the unions. Employees in Milwaukee County are paying more for their health care. The pension benefit itself was cut. So we're kind of the leader on this, but at the same time, because we've already done these things, it makes it harder to absorb future cuts from the state. So,
well, that's a challenge because we've already baked in the savings.
Yeah.
So this, you know, the governor is anticipating that by July 1st, our problems will be solved. We won't receive any extra benefit from some of the initiatives that he's already pushed because we've already taken that lead. We can't continually ask our employees to bear the burden of the county, but we have taken some steps to find some cost savings. The county just entered into a memorandum of understanding with Milwaukee Public Schools to go out into the market jointly to leverage our buying power on prescription drugs. I think that impact will save us thousands of dollars this year, and you know, will multiply as we go forward. But the real benefit is if we get this right, if we can show that we can come together as a group, we can probably get the city of Milwaukee and other municipalities to look at ways where we can come together and partner on purchasing salt or other types of supplies and have a savings that we can hopefully put back into our coffers if the governor somehow doesn't try to take that money away from us.
Let's talk about the biennial budget. Came out last week, and the governor is giving the county, all counties, including Milwaukee County, big cuts in state aid, shared revenue, and mass transit in particular. And, you know, the collective bargaining changes don't apply to the transit employees because they work for a private company. So you don't have that flexibility with those employees. And it also freezes the tax levy. This is a key point. It freezes the tax levy for local governments. As supervisors, you won't have any flexibility except for any small amount of new construction there would be in the county. So your options are so limited. You can do very little to correct these budget issues.
Well, I think what you have to do in the budget is usually a budget is based upon three areas. It's based upon economic development. Supervisor Thomas was talking about that, and sharing of services. I mean, we need to do some of these things, obviously. You can't put everything just on the employees. I think that's well documented. I never saw a budget that was 100% based upon employee givebacks. And then also the besides looking at economic development, you might have to cut some things. I don't know else how you balance a budget. We're in a very difficult situation. Now, we did some of the things that you mentioned before, Harold, that we've done to ourselves already. It hasn't been done to the unions. They didn't have to because of collective bargaining. But when we look at our workforce, and I'm sorry I need to go back to that, but we only have 5,000 in our workforce. We had over 6,000 when I came to the county board over 10 years ago, the decade of the 2000s here. So I always kind of cringe or bite my lip when they say, well, you big government and you just pay people, put them on the payroll. We're 20% less than we were 10 years ago, right, at least. And of those 5,000 employees, roughly now, we had over 6,000, like I said, 3,500 are union employees. We have all these collective bargaining rights with, and we can't do anything to, okay? 2,900, the big part of this, of course, is the AFSCME union, who we've been unable to come to any resolution with in the last 2 years. Now, if they have to do the same kind of things we've done as non-reps, okay, it's significant money to the county. And as I told someone who called me today in my office, an AFSCME worker, said, what does this mean to me? Well, I said, this is what it means, that you're going to have to pay for these things that we've done to ourselves and non-reps, but we're going to keep your jobs. We're not taking away your pension. We're not taking away your health care. Okay, you don't have to go on furloughs anymore. So I hope there can be some balance that way in a very difficult situation.
Supervisor Thomas.
But again, the whole premise of the governor's actions is that our employees will have to bear the cost of funding the county. And that is something that we should have never really thought of. If the governor, with this concept of giving us the tools to be a more efficient government, I would assume that he would have given us, I guess, he would maintain shared service or shared revenue. He would have taken some of the mandates or at least funded some of the unfunded mandates that the county currently has, and given us the ability to diversify our revenue source. Those are the things we were asking for. None of the things that we received.
Well, Supervisor Thomas is correct there. Everything is based upon employee givebacks. It starts with a budget repair, and it really dovetails into the budget. Because in the budget that we know, and everybody knows, I don't know if we ever have the tools to pay for all the cuts we're going to have. I think the city of Milwaukee and just cities and Democratic strongholds, particularly, are really going to bear the brunt because shared revenue is the big. It's our lifeblood. I mean, yeah. We have this goofy system in Wisconsin. Is we pay all our taxes, send them Madison, and they decide how much they send back to us, the mm-hmm. biggest county in the state. And, of course, we always get underfunded. And shared revenue in 2011, Wisconsin counties received 183.4. You know, most of that's the money we give already. We're just asking for our fair share back.
Yes.
And the governor did not recommend a reduction in shared revenue right away. And the transit cuts and most of these things are not happening right away in 2011. But come 2012, ooh, Katie barred the door because he's asking for a lot of leeway and a lot more power in the whole health and human services field about making decisions, particularly in family care, where he can do significant modifications. That's a nice way of saying, you know, maybe lopping 50,000 people off. And, you know, that's when it's really going to come to fore. But right away, and the last thing I want to say here is that I think a difficult thing in fairness is, and, you know, we're all for, it's like being against the military. How can you be against fire and police? I mean, our public safety. They haven't had any cuts. Anything that happens now, the budget repair bill goes through, nothing. Our deputy sheriffs and firefighters, none of these. They still can collectively bargain. They keep all the rights. They have very good benefits. They can retire at 55, 57. They have a higher pension multiplier. And this is a national thing that Republicans who came to power and governors and they're coming through. Although interestingly, Ohio did put deputy sheriffs or did put sheriffs and police in their budget, unlike Governor Walker.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to add that there is a perceived budget deficit of what is it, $36 million?
$3.6 billion.
Yeah, $3.6 billion.
Yeah.
And that's based off of a 6.2% increase from all of the department heads. At the state level. So we don't have an actual deficit at this time. The governor could reduce the recommended budgets from each department head, and that would bring, again, a perceived budget deficit down and align it a little bit better, which wouldn't put such a burden on the local municipalities.
Well, we have to wrap up here. The last question that I wanted to ask both of you is if you're willing to make any predictions tonight as how this thing might be resolved.
Well, I'm sorry I don't have a lot of optimism. I just see this as really a switch. I've seen this so often in politics and with countries and, you know, rival factions take over from the previous faction. And very unfortunately, we've seen these examples where the new party or the new ruling government that comes to power then really takes it to the previous majorities.
Think that Scott Walker is going to be able to get this through?
Well, sure he will. Okay. If you just look at the numbers, the Democrats ran the state for the last 8 years. They had majorities in the legislature. They had Jim Doyle as their governor. Now the Republicans have Scott Walker, the antithesis, really, right, to Jim Doyle. And they got legislature. They have the Fitzgerald brothers who are chomping at the bit and just, you know, kind of tearing their hair out with all that was happening in the Democratic Assembly and Senate. Now they've come to power, and it's their time to do what they want to do, and they're not going to compromise, I don't think.
Supervisor Thomas, your prediction?
It will pass. It's just a matter of time. But if what the governor could do is he could allow us the opportunity to diversify our revenue stream and at the same time give true property tax relief to individuals in Milwaukee County, as well as fund mandated services that the state has imposed on Milwaukee County.
Yeah, fully funded.
And then, then hold us to our feet to the fire and say, you know, you need to find some efficiencies, which we've already done. I think that would be a better course of action.
Well, maybe we'll have you both on later in the year and we can kind of revisit this issue and see what variables have changed and where we go from here. So, Supervisor Schmidt and Thomas, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Harold.
Still to come tonight, we'll talk about human services programs offered by Milwaukee County and a special open house at the courthouse when Inside the County Board continues on News Talk 1130 WISN.